Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has experienced teams who can craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex. Real wealth requires real solutions. Connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com.
Hello, I'm Jonathan Moles, and you're listening to the FT Startup Podcast, a 10-part guide to creating and growing a business. Today, we're going to look at work-life balance. Running a business can become an obsession. How do you stop work leaking into downtime at home? And how do you manage when life intrudes? Maria Sipka co-founded Linquia, a marketing company that matches brands to digital storytellers and their communities. She was looking for a US business partner when she found she was pregnant. The timing could hardly have been worse, as she explained to me down the line in a phone call from her office in San Francisco.
I was in Barcelona and I had my potential co-founder in my living room, and we had been working on the blueprint for what would create the business in the United States over a 7 or 8 day period. He actually arrived on the day that I was due to give birth, so the timing was a little off. And then as we were putting the final touches to our financial plan together, I then started to go into labor, and I refused at that point to give up because we're on the home stretch. And he was scheduled to fly to Switzerland to present to some investors that we had in Switzerland. And so I remember, sitting on one of those yoga balls, kind of in pain the contractions were much more further apart. Went through that process over about 4 or 5 hours, and then we finished the financial plan, and I said, right, I'm off to the hospital, and you're off to Geneva. And so I went into hospital in Barcelona to give birth, and then 8 hours later I was on my iPad with our daughter sitting next to me, sitting in on an investor meeting where my would-be co-founder was presenting our blueprint, our plan. And it was at that stage that the investors said, well, the one challenge is that we need to raise $1 million in a week. We need to have at least $1 million to get this company up and running. And unfortunately, you're the only one that can do that. And within 24 hours, I was at home on the phone fundraising.
What was the reaction at home?
Well, my now husband, we're both part of the entrepreneur organization. And when we first met, I actually laid the cards on the table and I said, listen, I want to live large. And so, we're going to have some pretty interesting experiences ahead of us. Are you up for that? And so, he already had a few years in seeing my approach to incubating our company, Linquia. And so by the time that I became pregnant, we'd talked about what some of the implications would be on our situation. And so he'd already become accustomed to just the way of life, and we'd always figured things out. So he wasn't worried in one sense. As a matter of fact, he had a consulting gig in Brazil. So by the first week that the baby was born, he was in Brazil. So somehow we managed to make it all work.
What about your investors?
One of the great things about when you start a company, your investors invest into you and your vision. And so the investors were extremely supportive, and obviously they'd invested already a sizable amount of money, so they wanted to see a return on that investment. And we looked at the situation in a very pragmatic way, and nobody had put any unnecessary pressure on me in terms of putting a gun to my head going like do or die. Like, I'd put that pressure on myself.
I suppose people think of San Francisco as the startup crowd being young 20-somethings and, young, free and single. Has it been at all strange fitting into that community there?
The only way that you can succeed in the Valley, having my situation of, I've now also got a second child. Incidentally, when we went to raise our next round of funding, life said, right, here's another child. So, having two children and obviously a husband, the only way that you can make it work is to focus.
Do you not ever think it might have been a bit easier, though? You might have been a bit bigger if you hadn't had these chaotic events.
You know, you often speak to mothers, you know, that go back to work, and you'll often hear that they're actually far more effective at their job being a parent than when they don't have children. This is my third company, and so you learn that when you're younger, you sort of spread yourself a little bit thin and you work crazy hours, and in the end, you arrive, you know, much further to the person that's been, you know, a lot more focused. And so having a family, you know, you're very, very selective about who you spend time with. You become much more obsessive with the team that you build around you. I mean, my co-founder has been instrumental to our success. It was the single best decision that I ever made, you know, was to find that match. Would we be where we are today if I didn't have the family? Absolutely not, because to be honest with you also, my family has created a sense of normality for me. Like, I think I'd probably go crazy, you know, having gone through the journey that we've been through without having them.
For another take on work-life balance, I spoke to husband and wife team Shane Fitzcoy and Arar Han, who met at Stanford Business School and decided not only to marry, but to go into business together with their startup medical device business, Alert One.
I always thought that I would end up having a greater partnership in my marriage than just, I guess, the traditional personal relationship. But it's very difficult to find someone that you fall in love with and want to marry, let alone also want to work with. And so when we got together, I realized that, oh, you know, there is something that could happen professionally between the two of us, but let's tackle one thing at a time.
So you actually thought this would be something you'd enjoy, being married to someone who you'd also be in business
with? Yeah, I've always admired couples that marry, I suppose, for love and then also work together. But I just liked it. It appealed to me.
So presumably there's good and bad in this, being married and running a business together. What's the best thing?
I think the best thing might also be the worst thing. It's that we never stop working and we never stop home, right? It's always on. And so I love that. So before, Inara probably wasn't either very good at work-life balance, and there was no real separation. I would go home and talk about everything that we were going to, that it was happening at work, and I would go to work and think about what's happening at home. And so it's great that I don't really have to stop working at home. It's great that I don't have to stop living and being who I am at home at work, that I can show up fully in both circumstances. I really enjoy and appreciate. And I think it's the best thing, and it may also be the worst thing, too.
Are there rules that enable this to work?
I think the only rule is that we have to be authentic and truthful in whatever realm we happen to be in.
Yeah, I think an arbitrary rule like no talking about work at home, it wouldn't work for us because it's not fundamentally who we are. But I think the one thing that's helpful is that it's not that we fight less, it's just that we have a lot of practice in fighting. And so we have a lot of work practice with fighting. We have a lot of home practice with fighting. And so we've got our Malcolm Gladwell 10,000 hours of fighting in. We can fight really quickly now. We fight really efficiently now. We get to the point of the fight. We move on. We figure out what's next. And, you know, we fight with purpose.
Yeah, I see. So it is being able to have those difficult discussions.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, you know, when we first started working together, we got advice from a number of different couples who had either tried and succeeded or tried and failed. And many of the couples who actually had tried and failed told us to adhere to a strict set of rules about when you enter the home, you stop talking about work. And then right when you get to work, you stop being a married couple and so forth. And I thought, that is so strange. I don't think I could possibly do that. Because what if I think of a great idea for work and right in the middle of dinner at home? It just doesn't seem fair to the business, and then, you know, vice versa. Most couples, I suppose, don't have a chance to look at their spouse in a professional setting. And I believe I have a much fuller picture than most people normally get, or that I've had in other relationships. I really sort of see the professional Shane and the home Shane, and you know, as he was saying, there's this remarkable continuity about being able to show up as your whole self in both settings and expect to be understood.
Do you think any couple could make that work if they actually wanted it to?
I think any couple can do it, but working together and being married will expose way more of the rifts and possibly more battlefronts that are difficult to recover from.
I think there's a certain level of respect, too, that's necessary. Even before we worked together, there were a lot of things about Ara that I admired and that I strongly respected. And those things have been consistent, and even to now, when we work together, I still sometimes, when she's in front of the room talking, I mean, I'm just looking at her in awe. And I think that level of respect is really important, or would be really important for a couple wanting to work together. In a professional sense, right? I haven't seen too many other couples that work together. But in a personal sense, I see sometimes where there's a little level of jealousy or contempt. And I think that that would be a recipe for failure in a couple working together.
I don't know whether you ever look at other business partnerships and you see things that you do that others don't.
Well, we have put our professional future and potential in the same basket in a way that I think many couples would find risky. And so there has to be that fundamental faith in each other that we can make it together in doing whatever wacky thing we're trying to do. So I think that part is special and unusual in a married professional couple.
Yeah. In business world, relationships are formed often on a legal basis, I suppose. Does that mean you have to have some sort of prenup arrangement if things go horribly wrong, and then what happens to the business?
Sure. We don't, but when I told her father that I wanted to marry her, he did tell me no refunds. So that seems like a legal contract, or at least just binding. One thing that strikes me on the couples that would be helpful, and I know that part of this is that you're talking to folks who are going to be founding in the beginning as well, a lot of partnerships don't have similar financial interests or runways, as in one partner may have 2 years of self-funding, and if they can raise money, it works, but another partner may only have 6 months. And we know of a lot of partnerships that have dissolved because people had different expectations about what they would pay themselves during the incubation stage. One advantage that we have, I think, is that we have full and clear financial disclosure with one another and the same amount of runway. And I think that be it this or be it an early stage venture, having complete disclosure and knowledge of the financial situation definitely makes it a much better playing field for us to be on.
What do experts say about the wisdom of going into business with family members? Rupert Merson at London Business School has some words of warning.
Some people believe that families and friends are the people who can be most honest with each other and that this is therefore a potential strength in family businesses. Well, that's not my experience of families in business. Friends and family are too often worried about upsetting each other to be honest with each other when it really matters. The foundations of a family, even if strong, are irrational, emotional, and quite likely not to be understood by the members of the family built on them. Now, the foundations of a strong business are much more likely to be rational, objective, measurable, more easily understood and communicated.
What tips, then, Rupert, do you have for people going into business with a spouse, a sibling, or other relative?
I think when you go into business with a relative or a friend, you need to remember that as far as the business is concerned, you are colleagues, and you should be as professional in your dealings with each other as you would be if you were dealing with a third party that you weren't related to.
Do you have any advice for people of how they can demarcate their lives?
It helps to make sure that when you're running the business, you're doing it in one office, and when you're living your life, you're doing it in another space. I also think that taking a little bit of outside advice can help. A bit of personal coaching or business coaching. I think in this instance, as a family business grows, a good non-executive director, wherever they come from, can help. A non-executive is somebody who's not involved in the execution, but who can look at the executives themselves and offer impartial advice about the business and about themselves.
Let's end with a word of advice from Maria Sipka.
You have to establish your routines and you just stick to them. You have a routine for your business. You have a routine for your family. I have a routine for myself as well. I've got to stay sane in all of this. You have to actually put yourself first. And then if you put yourself first and create that balance and that harmony and you build up the strength, then everything else falls into place.
Next time, we'll be looking at your company's image and, in particular, protecting your brand. Don't forget, if you have any questions for me or any of the experts I've spoken to, email me at jonathan.moulds@ft.com and we'll attempt to answer some of these at the end of the series. Goodbye and thanks for listening.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has experienced teams who can craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex. Real wealth requires real solutions. Connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com.
Join Capital Group CEO Mike Gitlin for a new edition of the Capital Ideas Podcast. In unscripted conversations with investment professionals, you'll hear real stories about successes and lessons learned, informed by decades of investment experience. It's your look inside one of the world's largest asset managers. New episodes are available monthly. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Invest 30 minutes in an episode today. Published by American Funds Distributors, Inc.